This is the Angry Admins podcast for January the 9th, 2007, episode number 10. Welcome back, folks. This is the Angry Admins podcast. My name is Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
We're coming to you from just down the street from NASA in Houston, Texas. It's another cold night in January. This week, we are going to be doing some special coverage on the Consumer Electronics Show and Macworld. So the aforementioned networking stuff we were going to cover will probably get postponed until all of the gigantic announcements kind of fall by the wayside. So we'll probably come back to that in a week or two. After the major tech news starts to slow down again.
That's right.
Joe, let's start with Macworld. What do you think about the stuff that's come out in the last couple of days?
So, Macworld. So we're recording this on Tuesday. We just, Steve Jobs' keynote, which is kind of the main part of, you know, Macworld. Macworld started on Monday, but nobody really pays attention until Steve Jobs gets up on stage and... So it started out, you know, everybody had a lot of predictions and, you know, wow, what's going on? What are we going to talk about? What's he going to announce? Are we going to hear about Leopard? And a lot of people wanted to hear about the iPhone you know, is it going to be announced? Is it going to be released? And I'm sure by now you've heard a little bit about it, but whether or not you care about it depends on how much you know. But to me, this was an amazing announcement. They did announce the iPhone, and... You know, I kind of went in with some expectations of what I thought the iPhone would be. We had heard some rumors, and it just blew me away. Every time they would talk about a new feature or show a new part of it, I was just amazed. So let's roll step back a little bit. Just some basic specs about it. It's running OS X. Obviously, it's a slimmed down version. No real details yet about how much of a full version of OS X it is. Is it more like a Windows Mobile? But from what we saw, it looks pretty powerful. Screen size is 3.5-inch screen. It is a touchscreen. 320 by 480 resolution with 160 pixels per inch. And from the demos I've seen, it just looks amazing. I mean, it's so crisp and sharp. And I mean, you compare it to, you know, I have an Audiovox SMT5600, and it's kind of a smartphone. And the screen looks, I mean, it's you can't even compare them. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even you compare it to one of the more expensive ones, like the slide-out keyboard one from Singular. I don't remember what the model is, but somebody we know has one. And it has a nice screen, but, I mean, it even blew that screen away. It just looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
4.5 inches by 2.4 inches and 0.4 inches thick. So if you want to think in your mind... Basically, it's very similar to the current gen iPods, a little bit taller, and I think a little bit narrower, but thickness is right around the same thickness.
Mm-hmm. And the screen covers most of the front of it.
Right. The screen is 3.5 inches on a 4.5-inch device.
Right.
So, I mean, you're talking diagonal there on the screen, but still, you look at the device and there's just a bar on the top and a bar on the bottom with one button on the bottom. And that's the whole device. Yeah. I mean, it's clean.
It's black. It's got like a little silver trim on the outside.
Yeah, silver chrome trim. The back looks like it's some sort of whitish. It's something new. It looks like a new surface. It doesn't look like it's aluminum, which is good news because phones take more damage than iPods or anything else. So it looks like it'll take up scratches a little better.
Yeah.
So let's dig down into this a little more on the iPhone. Does have a camera, 2 megapixel, but they didn't really talk about that much. Some of the big advanced features, it's got some 3 sensors in it, and this seems to be what really pushes it beyond. You know, there's some good apps, but these 3 things seem to really be what kind of takes it beyond the standard smartphone. It has an accelerometer, so similar to like when you're holding a Wiimote on the Nintendo Wii, where you move it around, it senses where how you're moving it. But they basically use this to sense whether you're turning it portrait or landscape.
Right.
So an example would be if you are looking at a photo on it, if it's a wide-angle photo, all you got to do is turn your iPhone, and it rotates with you and then fills the entire screen with the picture.
Mm.
And it's hard to... I can't even explain it. I mean, this is audio, so... I can't really give you the image of how amazing this is.
Yeah. If you go to the Apple site, there's some nice demos there, yeah, which kind of showcase the major features.
Yeah, and we'll have some links, so check our show notes on Angry Admins, and we'll point you in the right direction there. So you go a little more into the iPod. So it's an iPod, it's a phone, and it's an internet device. This is kind of what Steve Jobs was hitting left and right. I mean, he's really pushing this three parts of it. So the iPod part, it basically is exactly like you're using an iPod, except you're using your finger to control everything. It had this nice, the scrolling on it was really nice. It had like this rubber banding thing where you just flick your finger down it real quick, and it'll kind of keep going and then slowly slow down, mm-hmm, as it's scrolling. And it just seemed really intuitive, like you're spinning a wheel.
Right.
A big wheel, and you just flick, and it just... it just seemed to work really well. I don't know. I really want one of these really bad, as you could probably tell.
Yeah.
So, iPod part, it plays videos, full screen videos. All videos are played in the landscape mode, widescreen. One of the neat little things that I don't think I've heard anybody talking about yet is if you're watching a movie and it's in widescreen, so it's going to fill... You can either click on it and have it zoom to fill the entire screen, or in standard mode, it'll be like watching it on a TV where you've got some black bars on the top or bottom. Your choice. And it seemed to do that really well. I think the OS X part, where it's got the, they call it the core animation, which is all the nice little genie effects in OS X, they've really transferred that over to the iPhone very well. There's a lot of little nice hints at the UI where things zoom in and out, and little touches of things collapsing and growing. And
right, and to clarify, this phone is running Linux.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, basically. I mean, it's running OS X, which is based on BSD, right. Linux.
So there's a lot of power there in that little phone.
Yeah, right. I mean, one thing they haven't made clear is how much RAM, how fast the processor. It is an Intel processor, but that's all they've told us.
Right.
So we have no idea what kind of power is behind it, but from the demo, it was very snappy. It never really lagged. The only time you see it lag is when it's pulling data, and that's one of the downfalls of it. We can move on into the internet communicator part now. It's using Wi-Fi and Edge, which Edge is from Singular. It is a Singular-only device. Edge is kind of a 2.5G service. It's not quite 3G,
mm-hmm,
which is unfortunate because it's not quite as fast as, say, Verizon's EVDO or even Singular's own. I think it's HSDPA. It's their kind of broadband service. So it's too bad. We'll probably see that in the next generation of the iPhone. But at least it does have something. And supposedly it switches back and forth between Wi-Fi and Edge very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But the demo was over Wi-Fi, and it did seem to be pretty snappy, and once the data got to it, its scrolling and everything worked pretty well. It's running a full version of Safari.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing if it is truly OS X, once this is released, I imagine we'll see Firefox there pretty quick. That's the other question, is how much are they going to have this opened up to let people develop for it? And I think they're going to need to let it kind of grow as a device.
Mm-hmm.
Let people do what they want with it. But Safari, to be fair, the Safari running on here is nice. It's some of the features on it will be hard for Firefox to port to it. But so they call it pinching, is how you zoom in and out from a website or a photo or other things. Basically, you take your thumb and forefinger and you slide them in and out on the device with both of them touching the screen. And that lets you zoom in and out on, mm-hmm, on a website or a page or a photo. It's just very intuitive. I mean, you can click. You can double click with your phone, with your finger. And websites just seem to show up really well. It's a supposedly full fledged. They pulled up New York Times. You could touch on a picture and it would just go right to that picture. Zoom in, fill the screen with that photo.
Right.
So they've put some thought into how to use a web browser with such a small device.
Yeah, so you're not looking at a cell phone version of the web page. You're looking at the same page that you would see on your normal browser on your PC, which is nice. And I mean, it lets you zoom in, like Joe said, very intuitively. So it makes sense to do it that way. You can read everything pretty normally without, mm-hmm, having to scroll around and do a bunch of crazy stuff.
Yeah, and you know, that's never really been done before. I mean, every phone has a WAP browser, they call it, where it's just kind of using, you can view the full page, but it never does it well.
Yeah. Right.
And it's amazing. It seems like what they're doing is they're taking like almost a screen grab, mm-hmm. of the full site, and then that's how they're showing it. Because the way you can zoom in and out, it's got to be something
vector
like that.
Image, yeah, or something crazy.
I'm not sure what they're doing. But it's impressive. Whatever right. it is, it's impressive.
Yeah.
And they didn't talk about, you know, needing special coding for the browser or anything. It's just standard stuff. So that was encouraging. So a little bit more on the internet side of things. There's let's see. There was email. Email was kind of a big thing. They have teamed up with Yahoo to do a push IMAP service, but you can also use any IMAP, any POP3 service. Apparently, Exchange has an IMAP version that you can tie it up with this. You can use Gmail. Basically, any of the popular ones out there, you'll be able to use with this.
But only Yahoo is going to let you push to the phone. Everything else, you're going to have to tell it, check my email to get your emails.
So that's too bad, but I think people will be, either or. Mm-hmm. If they really like the push BlackBerry type service, they'll be able to use and it's free also. The Yahoo Mail is free,
nice.
Which you get charged for any of the other services, so that's nice. That was kind of about it on the internet side of things. There was a few other things, but you can check those after the fact. We don't want to bore you too much on that. The phone side of things, we'll go into that real quick. They really stressed that the phone was the killer app, if you're buying a phone, you want it to be able to use it as a phone easily. And compared to other smartphones, this does seem very easy to make calls. Standard phone calls, you can put people on hold and, join a conference call together very easily. It kind of has intuitive buttons that pop up depending on what you're doing. One of the nice advances that they've done is what they call visual voicemail. And it looks like what they're doing is downloading actual files from your voicemail so that you can go through and see, say you have 5 voicemails, you can listen to the 3rd one right away.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start playing it, you listen to it, and you can go back to listen to the 1st one, go to the 5th, doesn't matter. You don't have to go sequentially anymore.
Right.
Which is a big thing if you've got 4 calls from your son who's telling you about his day, but you need that 5th call from your boss that's telling you have a meeting that started 5 minutes ago. Well, right. if you had a regular phone, you're stuck. You got to listen to those 4 messages from your son that are 5 minutes long each.
And the other nice thing about that is because the play controls for the message are on the screen, kind of like an audio file.
Right.
When that girl that you went out with calls and leaves a message that she's pregnant, you can stop it right there, rewind it a little bit, and play it again.
Double take.
Without re-listening to the whole message.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's nice.
It's a pretty exciting service, and that was one of the reasons, I guess, that they have kind of teamed up with Singular, is that they needed to stick with one company so that they could do some advances like this. And they hinted at that there are other things like that coming down the road. So that's kind of the phone part of things. It does do SMS. SMS kind of had an iChat-like look to it with bubbles, and you could see it in a conversation style, which was nice. It was a nice little change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of it about the phone. Some things that I think are disappointing about it. One, there was no mention of any sort of document reading.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody emails you a Word document, can you read it? Apparently not yet.
Yeah.
It's not released until June, so you can't get it yet. Pricing was a little disappointment. $499 for the 4 gig model and $599 for the 8 gig. So a little steep, and that is supposedly that's the price with the 2-year contract. So that is subsidized a little bit even.
Boo.
Yeah. He tried to spin it with, you buy an iPod, 4 gig iPod for $199, and then you buy a phone that's a smartphone for $299. We're giving you guys a good deal. We're giving you that same 2 devices for the same price.
Plus it does a lot more.
Yeah. Whatever.
Thanks for doing us such a favor.
Thanks for giving me a favor by ripping me off. Yet, even after that, I still want it.
Yeah.
The battery life also seems a little poor. Audio playback is good. 16 hours, kind of what we know from iPod.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 hours only for talk, video, browsing. They kind of lumped those all together. So it's unclear, is it 5 hours only of talk time? Video is known to suck battery life.
Yeah.
So if you're just talking on the phone, are you going to get more or less? It's unclear.
The thing, though, about with it running this operating system, it may be taking up the same amount of battery no matter what you're doing.
Right.
If it's not music.
Could be.
So, 5 hours, really, really not a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, to me, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, they do a lot of power management things. I didn't talk about the rest of the sensors. So the three sensors, the accelerometer, the proximity sensor, and the ambient light sensor. So the proximity sensor, this is kind of neat. You lift it up to your ear, and it knows that it's close to your head. So it automatically turns off the touch screen and turns off the screen completely. So you can't, you know, accidentally hang up the call in the middle of the call while you're holding it up to your ear. And that's all just intuitive. It just does it automatically. And then the ambient light sensor is used to adjust the brightness based on your current light level. And that's kind of also to save you some battery life there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's nice. But it's like we've talked about before where they just kind of get it. I mean, you look at this compared to the Zune, which is a brand new device, and it barely did more than the iPod. And then these guys come along and like, yeah, what's up now? I mean, yeah. You know, everybody's like, oh, the Zune, it's got all these new features and the screen's so nice. This screen looks just as good, if not better, and it does so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, you can't send your neighbor your Wi-Fi, your song over Wi-Fi, but...
Well, there's so much tech out there,
yeah.
And it's so hard to exceed expectations.
Right.
But I think every once in a while, somebody does it, and a lot of times it's Apple, and I think they kind of did it with this,
mm-hmm.
You know? It's like, oh, great, an iPhone. You know, oh, it's going to be a phone that plays MP3s. And, you know, they come out and they show it to you, and you're like, wow, okay. I mean, you're just mm-hmm. kind of, it's hard to be jaded because you're like, wow, that's kind of cool. I kind
yeah.
of want that, you know.
Yeah. And you know, it's, so I've had a chance to look at or watch some of the keynote. I haven't had a chance to go through the whole thing. It's kind of hard to watch it still because so many people are trying to see it. But I've seen, I think maybe the last four keynotes I've watched after the fact, recorded. And I've gone back and listened and watched some of the older ones, like when the iPod was released that year and some of those. And they really felt like the whole room was just buzzed about the iPhone. I mean, mm-hmm. so many people are excited about it. It's been flooded all over the news already. And it's just like everybody realizes that this is a big deal and that this has really raised the bar on when it comes to smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that much better.
Yeah.
So that's the iPhone. We'll move on, but if you're interested in checking out some more, look at our show notes. We'll have some links. You can just go to Apple's site directly, and they're blasting it all over their site, so you won't be able to miss it. So a couple more announcements from Macworld, and then we'll move on. The iTV was finally released. That was announced several months ago. It's called the Apple TV now. No surprises really here. Does everything we expected. Does have a hard drive in it, 40 gig hard drive. It syncs. It syncs itself with your desktop and up to 5 devices total. So if your neighbor brings over a laptop, you can sync it up with that, even some other things like that. It can also stream. The streaming we've come to know and love, built into iTunes, some several other things, but only works with high def TVs, which was a surprise for me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was kind of expecting it to maybe work, have a standard video jack, so you could use it on a standard TV as well, especially because there's no high def content yet on iTunes,
right?
Which was something I was expecting to hear and did not.
Mm.
So I missed the boat big on the Apple TV. No keyboard, no built-in iPod games, no browser, none of that
well,
I was hoping for.
Those were predictions for 07, and 07 has just begun.
Well, that's true. Maybe they'll add to it. I mean, there is the somewhat strange USB port on the back that is used for nothing.
Right.
What is that for?
I don't know.
I would have to guess it's probably just for expansion for the hard drive, but
mm.
they did specifically note on the website, no iPod games.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I mean, you've got the controller there that would work just fine, I would imagine. Maybe it needs the scroll. I don't know. Whatever.
But you know, I have an iPod, and I've never played any iPod games.
The only other thing really of note so far from Macworld is the AirPort Extreme has been updated to 802.11n, which is also built into the Apple TV and all recent released notebooks. Not a really big deal here, but it's got built-in USB for automatic hard drive sharing or printer sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is their access point.
Yeah, it's their wireless access point. It's a router. It's got four ports on it and wireless, so nothing exciting. some things we're surprised that we did not see at Macworld yet, if we are ever going to see them, which usually these would be included in the keynote from Steve. No, nothing about OS 10.5 Leopard.
Boo.
So, I don't know what that was all about. No iWork iLife updates.
Boo.
No new Mac tablet, something weird, nothing crazy. I guess you could consider the iPhone a Mac, but it's not really, so.
Nah.
And no high-def iTunes releases, which we talked about already. So.
Yeah.
Hmm. But to sum it all up, I'm very excited about the iPhone. Can't get it till June, but looking forward to seeing, getting my hands on that and seeing what it's really all about.
Yeah. I think my take is I would rather wait for the second iPhone because I'm hoping that the battery life will get longer.
Right.
And I'm hoping that by the time the second iPhone comes around, we will actually have a true, like, 3G.
Yeah, like 3G network.
I mean, I really want DSL speed data on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that may be just a pipe dream, but that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to buy a new phone if it's not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I've got that in my mind that that's going to be my next phone. So.
And also, so they've got H.11n in the Apple TV and the AirPort Extreme, but it is not in the iPhone. That's right. Only G, which I'm sure has to do with size. I mean, the thing is tiny.
Yeah.
It's thinner than the Black Jack or any of these other thin phones out there, the Motorola Q, and it has a full touchscreen.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's pretty sweet. Also this week, along with Macworld, is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. Every year in the spring, the electronics producers all come together and show off their latest, greatest stuff that's coming out for the summertime and later in the year. This year is no exception. We have tons and tons of stuff coming out. I'm still trying to distill, you know, all the info that's been coming out just since yesterday and today. Tons of phones, tons of just every iPod accessory that you could dream of, TVs, plasmas, just all kinds of crazy stuff. So we're just going to hit some of the high points, and I don't know, we'll talk briefly about a few of these. Let's see, we had the Microsoft keynote yesterday, and they started talking about a lot of stuff, a lot of hardware. Their Vista is their flagship thing right now, so Vista's coming. So I think the business PCs with Vista are going to start shipping January the 30th. They also talked about Xbox 360 version 2. So the rumors, and it's not really clarified exactly what the new 360 is going to be, but they're talking about like maybe 120 gig hard drive and HDMI ports for high def and stuff like that. So that'll be exciting if we have that sort of stuff. And along with that, there's the Xbox Live subscribers. They're up to 5 million subscribers on the Xbox Live service.
That's crazy.
And pretty much now anyone, the stats show that anyone who's buying an Xbox 360 right now is almost automatically or by default signing up for the Xbox Live service because they want a game online.
Sure.
And they have the new Xbox Live video download. So this is like a big thing. And they're pushing for this. And to go along with that, Microsoft is introducing the IPTV. Now, the IPTV service is going to be available, they said, by holidays of 2007. That right now they're at about 160 titles for TV, and they expect that to double by this time next year. So not a ton of content, but enough to make it maybe worth checking out if you're already going to buy a 360, that might be a good thing. The IPT functionality is also going to let you not only watch these shows, but also record them. So your 360 is going to turn into sort of a TiVo DVR type thing. And they're even talking about like a picture-in-picture. So, you know, while you're playing Halo, you can be watching The Office up in the corner.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The other nice thing is that, you know, the Xbox 360 with the Live, you're online, you got your Bluetooth headset. Are they Bluetooth? Is that what?
I think they have wireless versions, but some of them also just plug right in. So.
Okay. So at any rate, you're on your 360, you got your headset, you're talking to your friends, and you can actually, through the Live service, be watching a show. So, say you and your buddies really dig Lost or Galactic or whatever. You and your buddies can all watch the show at the same time and talk.
See, that's pretty sweet.
And talk on your headsets about the show while it's going on.
So you're saying it's like I can watch a show or a movie with my friends without leaving the couch.
Exactly. And like you could all be on your respective couches in your underwear.
So we really are going to all turn into Sally Struthers, like on.
Yes, we'll all be giant Jabba the Hutts.
Right. Did you see the office this way?
Yes, we'll all be giant and worthless, but we'll be awesome at Halo. I don't know. So this is what Microsoft is helping ruin the health of America.
All right,
and for that we thank you.
So just a quick side note, it's funny because every time you play a Nintendo Wii, every time you start a game, it has this little window thing that pops up, shows the controller on a table and an open window, and it's like, why not go outside, ...
Really?
Yeah, every time you start a game, it tells you, why not go outside?
The only product that encourages you to do something else besides
like,
use it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, but this is America, and you know, you can't tell us what to do, so
that's right.
We're just going to do the opposite.
Well, maybe that's what they were thinking.
We're just going to be playing more Wii, right? Yeah. So, IPTV, by the end of 07, is going to be here, so we'll be watching for that. Let's see, moving on, ViewSonic. These guys have released, they're debuting some new monitors. It looks like 24 and 28 inches. So, Joe and I have been setting up 24-inch monitors all week, and they're awesome. So I think that's in my future. My belated Christmas gift to myself will be a 24-inch monitor.
I think maybe going to jail soon because I'll be stealing it from you.
Yeah. But think about this. These monitors are big enough for you to have two full 8.5 by 11 sheets side by side on your screen at the same time.
That's so wrong.
I mean, that's awesome, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you can read, this is a great thing.
Yeah, see, that's what it's all about. It's all about reading. That's it.
Yes. It's not about awesome gaming or playing World of Warcraft in 1900 right. by 2 billion pixels. Okay. We also have, along with all the iPod madness, we've got some TVs. Like there's a 37-inch iPod TV, which is basically just a flat-screen TV that you dock your iPod.
Oh, really? Okay.
And you play your iPod videos there. And interestingly enough, they had a projector, like a ViewSonic projector, I believe, and you dock your iPod into the top of it.
Hmm.
So this projector then throws out a 1024 image.
Wow.
So I'm not exactly sure why you would want this, but I guess, yeah, you got videos on your iPod and you want to play it on a projector.
So does it take standard inputs too?
Yes, yeah, okay. It's a full service projector, but okay. It just has an iPod dock.
So that's so weird. I mean, everything's got iPod. It's like, hey, here's your toaster with iPod functionality. I mean,
yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, what else is gonna come with an iPod dock?
I don't know.
Although my Mazda that I just bought did not come with one, but I won't go into that.
I've actually seen a toilet paper roll thing that has an iPod dock built in.
Well, we won't go into that.
And it charges it when you... No, I'm kidding.
See, it should have been the Zune, because the Zune was already brown.
That's right. Ooh, brown.
One of the big things this week is LG Electronics. Life is good. LG has announced a combination player. For those of you that can't decide or won't decide, or don't care which you decide between the Blu-ray or the HD-DVD format wars, they have a player that's coming out that will do both.
Wow.
Now, previously, I had been under the impression that each of the standards, both Blu-ray and HD-DVD, would not let you create a device that had the competing standard within it.
And that's what, like, I think it was Dvorak that was saying that, right?
Possibly.
Anyway.
I guess they get around that because this is not the full HD-DVD. So,
tricksters.
Yes. So it's a full-spec Blu-ray certified. But the HD-DVD is not a complete HD-DVD.
Mm.
Now, if you buy an HD-DVD disc, you can throw it in there, you can watch your movie, you can navigate through menus, it's all fine, but you won't have the super wowie-zowie HD-DVD enhanced menus and the extra features and some of the stuff like that that HD-DVD does. But you will still be able to see your movie in the full res,
okay.
All that kind of stuff. So, I guess they're getting around it by saying, well, we're not going to do the full HD thing, but, you know, it will play both discs, which really I think is what people care about.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's good news. Also, we've been hearing about the new, I forget what they call it, but it was the new disc that had both.
Oh, I think it was like Total HD.
Yeah. So
they're talking about having a disc come out where you could put both flavors on the same disc, you know, so that would, you know, pretty much wipe out the whole issue. You could just buy whatever player you want and, you know, your thing's going to be fine. So, what else? The Microsoft Home Server. For those of you who need a server at home and you're Microsoft fans, Microsoft will be pretty soon offering you a small server box. This thing, the concept of it is interesting. It's good. This little box is going to seek all of your data that's on your machines or on your kids' PCs or whatever, and it'll back it up for you. It can create full images and store those on the server.
Wow.
So if you lose a hard drive, it can just push the image straight back and you're fine. The other nice thing is that it's advertising that it's going to be kind of like a sling. So if you have important files or whatever in your home server and you go on vacation and suddenly you realize, oh, I need that, you'll be able to come across the internet, get into your home server, and pull those files back out and, and see your stuff. So that's kind of nice.
So it's too bad it's going to be full of vulnerabilities, right?
Well, we don't know, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
They also said that it's running its own operating system, and it's not Vista. I think they said it's a rebuilt from the ground up version.
Okay.
It's kind of a takeoff on a 2003 server.
Okay.
So
that's good, actually. That's better.
Yeah. So it's not Vista. It's not just something else running Vista that they're trying to resell you.
Right.
So that'll be interesting. We'll hopefully have more details on that later.
So was that the thing I saw on Dig where it's like you can get it, but you can only get it OEM? Like you have to buy a server with it already in it?
I think so. Huh. I think HP is going to make one of these for them.
I thought I saw that there's no way to really purchase it and put it on your own box.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like an integrated hardware software.
Yeah, like an appliance.
Yeah. So here we go with that. Intel was kind of showing off this week. They were showing off their Intel V8, they called it. It's two Xeon quad cores running together. Yes.
That's crazy, dude. No way.
So who needs 8 cores?
I do.
I
need them.
What are you going to do with 8 cores?
I don't know.
I mean, even servers don't really need this right now.
Yeah.
But
imagine there's anything even coded that would take advantage of it.
Well,
you'd
no.
have to be running 8 different apps.
There's barely anything out there that can take advantage of, like, a single quad core.
Right.
You know, or a dual core for that matter. So why do we need 8 cores? Just so Intel can become rich, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's just the megahertz wars all over again.
Yeah. And the other big nice thing that we saw was Sharp, who we, you know, appreciate for the things that they build, has delivered to us with a ray of golden sunlight from heaven.
What?
The Sharp Aquos 108-inch LCD panel TV. So, yeah, it's gigantic. It's huge.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure it's beautiful, but I'm sure it's
108 inches.
Yes. So, think about that.
That's almost 10 feet.
The people on the screen will be bigger than life-size people. So,
I must have it.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how you get it into your house.
It would have to come in pieces, right? I mean, I guess it's probably... I wonder if it fits through a door.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You build your house around it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you just, if you're so rich to buy this, you have a mansion with double French doors in the front.
Yeah.
I don't know.
True.
But there's a ton of new phones. I'm not even going to get into them because they're just stupidly many.
Right.
One thing that seems to be the trend this year are phones that are cell phones that when you come home, they turn into a Wi-Fi, like Skype type phone. So, and it automatically knows that, hey, I'm home, you know, don't go through the cell phone service anymore.
Right.
So there's several of those that are out, actually more than several. A lot of new laptops. We've got some new Alienware laptops that are pretty cool in, I think the $1,500 range, starting out. They're just like supposedly awesome for gaming, and I don't have specs on that because like I say, we've just been hit with so much hardware in the last 48 hours that we're still trying to get our head around it. But yeah, those are some of the highlights from Macworld. So as Joe predicted last week, we do have a ton of wireless stuff, and wireless seems to be, you know, the theme this year. All kinds of stuff like that. Joe, was there anything else that you saw from CES?
The only cool thing I saw that ASUS had an external graphics thing that was like all wowie zowie. I don't know. it's not anything I would ever buy, but it's kind of interesting to see that they're just getting so big, I think, that they can't fit them in inside a PC.
Right, so it was a graphics card that's outside your computer.
Right, yeah, basically. And it had its own display on it, like had this like special little case, and then a cable runs inside your PC.
Right. So not only is it so huge, but I wonder if it's because of the cooling, too.
I bet it probably was.
You know, so that's getting kind of crazy. You got a graphics thing, a big tumor on the side of your computer that runs your graphics card. So, yeah. I'm sure next week, see, Macworld and CES are both going on all week long. Mm-hmm. So, and we're only at Tuesday, so.
Right.
Probably next week we'll be recapping. You know, we won't cover the same stuff, but, you know, we'll do a replay of the stuff that happens, you know, Wednesday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And anything else that pops up on the radar between now and then. Okay, that's going to about wrap it up for us this week. That's going to be episode 10 in the can.
Woo-woo!
Yep. Okay, so we'll be back next week with the wrap-up for CES and Macworld. If you so desire, please visit our website at angryadmins.com. Feel free to send us feedback at feedback@angryadmins.com. We're also on Dig, and you can stream our feed straight from the site or in your favorite RSS reader. Feel free to leave us comments. If there's something that comes out at either of these big expos that you're interested in, throw a comment out there, throw us an email. There's a good chance we'll talk about it on next week's show. Until then, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Baby.
You guys take it easy, and we'll see you next time.
Later.